I'm interviewing Mr. Frank Taylor Cooper, old resident of Hawke's Bay, Havelock North, cow cocky, also into spraying business, thistles, and later in life became a very, very successful real estate agent. Truthful and down to earth. Good morning, Frank.
Thank you, Jim.
And very nice to have you here on the 18th of January. And my name's Jim Newbegin. So, good morning, Frank.
Good morning, Jim.
Now, Frank, I'd like you to give us a lot of history about the start of the Cooper family coming to Hawke's Bay. And I'll just let you rumble on.
Thank you, Jim. The Cooper family originally came as James Cooper came from Huxley, Lincolnshire to New Zealand in 1862 on the sailing ship War Spirit. This came to Napier. From Napier he went to Guava Station. Initially he was there for only 1 year and then on to Tamata, owned by the Chambers, as a ploughman. This was in 1862. He won a ploughing match at the first A&P Society show in Havelock North in the area of the industrial area and Nimmons, Busya. In 1868, he married Mary Letitia Cooper, who worked for the Chambers in their home. Mary came from Offaly in Ireland. They had 8 children. My father, Francis, was the youngest, born in 1875. Mary died aged 37 years. So a new mother was needed for his family. He had moved from Tamata and was now driving a coach from Havelock North to Clive. And as females were scarce, he proposed to the daughter of a family in the coach who had just arrived from England and was accepted. He had a further 8 children to Margaretta Lachlan Vaughan. The Cooper children all went to the Havelock North Primary School, the girls becoming teachers and nurses, and the sons rural workers. He owned his own farm until a bank crash and was sold up, and at that stage became a coachman. He died in 1899, aged 58 years. My father, Francis, born in 1875, went to the Havelock North Primary School, became an apprentice coach builder to Simmons of Hastings, and this was quite interesting. Over the years we saw some of the books that he used to use, the plans of these beautiful old phaetons and gigs and the tools that he had. It was absolutely amazing, but that was another time. In 1895 he went to Sydney to join the police force, but was not tall enough. You had to be 6 foot plus. So he furthered his trade by becoming a wheelwright. While in Sydney he went to Western Australia to Coolgardie, which had a deep gold mine. This would have been 1899 to 1901. We know very little about this. When he returned, he bought 37 acres for dairying and married Annie Palethorpe and raised 8 children. This was the Thompson Road property. Annie died, and he then married my mother, Maisie, and had another 5 children. One thing, these men were very prolific breeders. They were hard on ladies, there's no doubt about that. Both families' children went to Havelock North Primary School. The village was only small those days. He bought more land on Thompson Road and continued dairy farming by hand until he got a 1-cylinder Lister engine to power the plant. My mother was a dairy farmer's daughter. At this stage, she was 25, and Francis, my father, was 55. The farm was now 100 acres and milking 65 cows. Most of the farm work was done by horses, haymaking, building large stacks of loose hay for the winter. My father ran the farm with an iron fist. He was from another era. When I was 7, I started school, and my sister and brother followed. The roads were shingle, and we biked. Our life was very basic. Mum worked on the farm. We did not have holidays except going to the A&P show and once to Patongata to the farm managed by my Uncle Tom. It was a farm by the name of Glenarae. It belonged to the MacLeod family of Dapelashane MacLeod. Jim, my brother, had a rare leukemia, which the doctors did not think he would survive. They tried a new drug, and he totally recovered. I had to go down to Wellington to give him this Christmas present. It was a traumatic experience for me, first time away from home in a big city. It did have a good outcome, although Jim missed a lot of school. At that stage, I had friendship with Ken McEwen, our neighbour, John Beale and Jeff Isles, schoolmates. The only vehicle on the farm was my father's 1936 straight 8 Oldsmobile car. This car could tell many tales on how it brought my father home from his pub sessions with his mates. We had this car until 1960. It is still in the district awaiting restorage. During my early years as an 8-year-old, I used to go with him on a Friday when he got barley ground at the Hawke's Bay Farmers for the pigs. He would park me in the ladies' bar at the Grand Hotel. Obviously some money was left to keep me plied with raspberry lemonade and something to eat. It was pretty good. My father would be in another bar drinking with his mates. We had been in Hastings since 11 a.m. and didn't arrive home till 4:30. My mother was already milking the cows. My father said he had to wait for the barley to be ground, but I said, "You picked it up at 11 o'clock. I was never taken again. I guess the lesson was, don't shop your father. On show day at Timona, we would all meet the Wilson aunties and uncles by a special tree not far from the hot water being boiled for tea. This was the only contact we had with our relations. Once a year, our father did not care for the rallies and spent the day in the pub with his mates, having the odd spot or two. We had some hair-raising rides home from the show. When I was about 10, I used to visit Granny Wilson, Mum's mother, and it was there Bob Wilson taught me to drive tractors, first a Massey Harris 30, an old American model, and a Farmall 12 on steel wheels. Bob used to grow 40 acres of crops for the canneries, and I spent many a happy hour driving these machines. When I left primary school, I went to Napier Boys High School attending the agricultural course. This was great as I cycled to Manga Territory from the farm, 5 miles, and caught a free bus to Napier. It was cycling to Manga Territory that I met Hilton Meikle, who became a lifelong friend. Being a farmer's son, it was destined that I would be a farmer. In my third year, I had to leave as my father was in hospital and I was needed at home. I did not take an active part in sport. As being a bus boy, I had to leave immediately after school when sports were practiced. During these years, my friendships with Trevor Jeffries and their family strengthened, and my old school friends, John Beale, Jeff Isles, Colin Wake, Graham Robson, and Dave McKinley. I lost contact with them because I was at another high school. However, back to the farm. It wasn't my choice, but as the eldest, it was my duty to work with the family. As a family, we had to all help at times. Most of the farm was very wet during the artesian springs. These had been drained by foreseen drains, bundles of sticks going to the main drains. This was done by Chambers, but 1931 earthquake ruined these drains. Life revolved around the cows. Cream was collected by the Hiratonga Dairy Company truck, and the skim milk was fed to pigs kept in sties away from the cow shed. These were fattened for market and bacon. We had 10 sows for breeding pigs. This was in the late 40s. About this time, we built a new cow shed, which was pretty flash compared with the old one. All new plants, separator, concrete yards, and the cows were Jerseys. To drain the swamp, hydraulic diggers were just starting. Jock Fraser of Hastings having one of the first hydraulic track grip diggers pulled by an E27N Fordson tractor. Tom Guy was the operator. This was the starting of drainage, the 150 springs on both blocks. We had lots of microcarpa and poplar trees. Jim and I cut them down with hire saws from the farm mechanisation. These were Clinton saws. We seemed to work them for a day and then take them in the next day to have them repaired. My sisters, Letitia, was training to be a nurse. Patricia was working at Hartprint. Margaret, my younger sister, was at Ardmore training to be a teacher. And Jim had come home to work on the farm. In 1956, my father suggested, instead of paying me, in brackets, one day this farm will all be yours, he bought me a brand new Ferguson 24 tractor with mower, rake, plough, disc trailer, the idea being to do some outside contracting, as well as breaking in the swamp. It wasn't the same as wages, but better than nothing. In 1957, I went to hospital, badly burned from a flamethrower I was burning blackberry with. A hose came off and doused me with petrol. I was in hospital for 3 months. After this time, I went to Linton Army Camp for my CMT. I enjoyed this. ASC Transport Company, we drove 1942 Chev trucks all over the bottom of North Island. Ken McEwen and I went duck shooting together and fishing the Tuki Tuki River's mouth. I also fished the Maraitotra with Archie Asby Palmer for trout. The stream was much different in the 50s. I played table tennis at the Havelock North Parkaway, joined the Hastings Minchu Rifle Club, whose range was Edgar Milne's packing shed at Naga Territory. We eventually built our own range in Hastings under the direction of George Gordon. I spent 7 years there. I also spent 7 years as a social member of the East Coast Aero Club at Bridge Power. I could not afford to fly, but did lots of hours with my mates Ken McEwen, Trevor Jeffries, Skip Circuit and Max Osmond.
Now, excuse me, could you just tell me what CMT stands for?
That stands for Compulsory Military Training.
Did everyone have to do that?
No, we were balloted, and if your marble came up, you had to go. So I was really pleased to go, because I had a great time at Linton, froze. We went in April and got out 3 months later. It's colder, I think, than Wairu because of the southerly that blows in parts of the north. The planes those days at the Aero Club were Tiger Moths, Percival Proctor, Whitney Strait. We had one Cessna, a couple of Piper Cubs. We spent some memorable nights in the clubhouse listening to the exploits of the wartime pilots. Sunday night was special as we joined the group in the dining room for bacon, eggs and mashed potatoes. It was something of a tradition. Ken Parrish, the club's instructor, was great to us young ones. We spent lots of evenings at their home, and I also belong to the Pakahu Young Farmers Club. Spent many happy times there, even on the High Dance Committee and managing the Brookvale Road dosing strip with John Latton.
Who was the dog pounder.
Yes, that's right. He was the dog control officer. In 1957, I was best man for Ken McEwen and Janice Cooper's wedding. Marie Claire was bridesmaid. In September 1957, I met Kay at the Premier Dance Hall in Hastings, and that was the start of a memorable and exciting life. For extra money, Kay and I packed fruit at Jeffrey's, Palmer's, Purnell, and Kay at Johnson's. This was after work, 6 to 10 every night. In the spring, we would help the Mardens decorate their blossom floats with real flowers. Lots of fun.
Can I ask you Kay's maiden name and when you got married?
Yes, Kay's maiden name was Brigham, and we were married in 1961. In late 1950s, Ian Brigham, Kay's brother, worked for us on the farm, cleaning drains. While it was lonely, hard work with thigh boots, a slasher and a fork, Ian was energetic and wanting to earn extra money. Kay's father, Robert, was born in Yorkshire in England, emigrated to New Zealand, schooled at Whangarei High School, was a prefect and had very good athletic distinctions. Then on to Dannyburg, where he was farming. Met and married Beryl Davis, formerly of Ashburton and Christchurch, that was Kay's mother. They went to Ekitahuna, where he owned a local sports shop. And it's interesting to think that Ekitahuna, we think of it just as a little village. You wonder how it could sustain a sports shop. But all the outlying people had lots of people working for them, and obviously it did. While he was there, he was very active in the local swimming club and started St. John's in Ekitahuna in 1944. The family then moved to Nelson, where he continued his community interest, St John's, Scouts and Swimming. The family lived in a two-storied home in Waimea Road. Robert died in 1957 of cardiac arrest. Beryl sold up and moved to Hastings to be near her sister. She built a new home in Riversley Road South with the four children, Kay being the eldest. After 2 years, she met Eric Taylor, whom she married in 1959, and they lived in Taunui Drive, Havelock North, Mahia, Pepper Street, and Franklin Terrace. And then when Eric died suddenly in 1980, Beryl moved to a townhouse in Pepper Street, then to the Cornwall West Home, where she died in 1996. In the late 60s, through till we left the farm, Keith Paramore, married to Kay's sister Carol, did all sorts of work for us, painting homes, hay carting, orchard work. Keith could turn his hand to anything. Fortunately, Ken McEwen and I learnt to dance, which was great, as Kay was a very good dancer and we went to many balls and dances. Kay was also a representative swimmer and a netball player. Whilst the children were young, Kay played badminton at St Luke's Hall in Havelock North and later squash at the new courts opened in the village. Kay also played golf on a low handicap at Bridge Park. Kay and I also went away on golf weekends with the Karens, Gilmores, Lawsons and Snooks. We also played a very active part in Junior National Party. Some work, but a lot of friends and fun. Kay and I were married in 1961, rented for 2 years and bought 11 Pufflet Road in 1968. Kay was working at Phil Price's farm mechanisation. In 1964 we had Craig and Garth 1 year apart, and as Kay had a bad back, we chose Melissa as our daughter. I'll never forget the night we met Melissa, this little blonde-headed baby in the Waipaka Rau Hospital. While the children were quite small, we had some luck, a draw in the Northern Building Society shares that gave us £500 cash. We bought a brand new classic caravan, which we towed with our black and grey Austin Westminster. We travelled all over New Zealand, north, south, east and west, for some wonderful holidays.
Certainly did. Very interesting what you've told us up till now. You've certainly had a full life, and we've only just really got halfway into your lifetime.
This is only touching, this is only putting our foot in the water. Kay used to talk about the wonderful holidays her family went on. This was a new experience for me, as we did not holiday on the farm. In 1961, we changed from cream supply to milk supply to Hawke's Bay milk producers. This meant a change from Jersey cows to Frisians. Kay and I started raising calves, some of these at Robertson's, where we rented and lived and had a small paddock by the house. After a period, had quite a few heifers to bring into the herd. Also, I went to Temuka, to Deloraine Stud, to buy pedigree heifers in the little farm mini van. It was white, it was small, and I'd get here and drive non-stop to Temuka, cross the ferry, and just drove and drove and drove. This car today, I probably wouldn't drive to Pakipak. But we never thought about it. We also bought heifers from Palmerston North, and went to Auckland with Hilton Meikle to buy cows from dispersal sales. This gave us a good base of Frisians, with some were pedigrees that I registered as Spring Farm under the Spring Farm suffix. Because we were production driven, we had to irrigate 100 acres. We had a huge amount of 3 and 4 inch piping. Pumps that delivered 18,000 gallons an hour from 24 sprinklers irrigating around 100 acres. This was run from 7 a.m. in the morning till late into the night, the tractor motor switching off with a time clock. As we had a caravan, our initial holidays were at Clifton, and then we progressed to Taupo, the Bretts, then Lofer's Paradise, then Mount Maunganui, and lots of other places, including Gisborne on the east coast. As our new friends started mainly through Kay's girlfriends, I renewed my interest in trout fishing, and started with Keith Caron and Ed Gilmore. We fished mainly backcountry rivers such as the Mohaka, Reapia, Ruakaturi, and many others. This continued for 45 years. I also had a mosquito sailing dinghy, which had three sails, it had oars, it had a 4-horsepower seagull. Our children learnt boating skills in this lovely little boat. Graham Wood and I, another friend from Wellington, would venture out from Loafers Paradise in the little red boat we called the Titanic, and fished. We fished very successfully too. During this period, much was happening on the farm. As Ted Flanders built a new home and grounds for Mum and Dad, we built new tank rooms, barns, implement shed. Also, drainage of the swamp was carrying on, and now new pastures, fencing and races for the cows. A new bridge to bring in the milk tank to the cow shed. Prior to this, the milk went in 12-gallon cans on a stand at the road gate. We were producing about 300 gallons of milk per day. Craig and Garth went to Havelock North Primary, and later Melissa went to Tomato School as we were going to move to the farm. Then on to Havelock North High School, where David Barham was principal. When the boys had graduated from Cubs to Scouts, they became dissatisfied as there was no camping. I went to help, but after a few months, the Scout leader suggested I put on a Scout uniform. This was not part of my plans becoming a Boy Scout, so after a summit meeting with the family, we joined the Teretonga Tramping Club. Did we get tramping, camping in early mornings? Yes, we did, and some wonderful experiences. So I became the Great White Tramper. I was mowing and raking for Bob Wilson at this stage, Jim Reed and Noel Kitching, and what other contracting work I could do. Brother Jim was working on the farm at this stage and also doing some contracting. Then I bought a 3-cylinder diesel, 35 diesel Massey Ferguson to replace the worn-out 24. The 35 was used mainly for farm work, mowing and raking. The Hawke's Bay farmer through Dick Shaw offered me the opportunity to band spray maize for grass weed control. High rates of gasoprim 80, this was great, as I sprayed 2,000 acres in the first year. This was done with a brand new 135 diesel I had purchased, and including the band spraying, I was doing 6,000 acres per year, all types of specialised spraying. A purpose-built spray unit with a 30-foot boom, Russell Curry built this. I also had put a high-clearance kit into the 135 for crop clearance. I bought this from Joe Leet in 1961. Jim and I both lived off the farm in the Havelock North Village, Jim in Tanner Street and myself in Tufflet Road. The farm was running well. The feeding pad we built for feeding brewers' grain we bought from Hawke's Bay Breweries, and then fine chopped maize silage and hay racks to keep at least 100 bales on demand for the cows to keep them off the paddocks in the winter. Contracting was going well. We had now a farm all super C with mid-mounted cultivators for inter-row cultivation of maize driven by Peter Fitzgerald. This was replaced by a 4-row cultivator side dresser mounted on the 175 tractor on narrow tyres. We'd been using mid-mounted Mortel mowers but progressed to a tire-up disc mower, and then we replaced our New Holland Baler 282 with a New Holland 276 and a 7-wheel Bamford rake, still used the Viking Lely mounted rake for pea vines, and 6-wheeler Viking rake for other works. I was using a 3-ton Bedford truck and a 16-foot low-loading trailer for water and was carrying the sprayer. We had a 7-ton S Bedford with hoist and also a J66 flat deck we used for hay carting. We used 10,000 bales on the farm ourselves and others. The S was used to cart brewer's grain from the Hawke's Bay Brewery and the fine chopped maize silage. We were the first to have a Pottinger fine chopped maize silage machine in Hawke's Bay. We had a 178 Massey Ferguson with loader for the silage. Then when Kay and I bought the Pufflet Road property for £3,100, this was in 1963. It was only 2-bedroom, a lounge and dining. First we had Ted Flanders build a garage about 30 foot long and 15 feet wide. Also, a landing by the back of the house for parking my A40 truck and later caravan. Later, we extended the house by adding a bedroom for Melissa and a large lounge, step down with the fireplace, and remodeling of the kitchen. At this stage, we had oil heating and a dishwasher, as I was working all day and half the night in the summer to make it happen. In 1971, whilst going to the North Island, my father died 96 years old. After settling his affairs, it was suggested that Mum, Jim and I form a company to alleviate further death duties, and so Cooper Brothers Limit was formed to run the farm. Jim and my mother were running the dairy, about 100 cows all year round, and I was contracting, not only spraying and harvesting, but cultivation work, ploughing, rotary hoeing, with a 4-furrow plough and 80-inch rotary hoe. Although everything was running well, some disputes were making things difficult. We had just installed the latest alpha milking plant, and with our supplement food, everything was fine. It was hard work irrigating 3 shifts a day on the pasture, and we were also growing peas, beans, potatoes for Watties on leased land. We also had the Frogley block we recently purchased. During this period, we had a lot of family socialising with the Karens and Gilmores, especially at Christmas, at alternative homes and the other times. I still fished several times a year tenting. Keith and I bought a 1976 Land Cruiser and had firmware build a insulated windowed aluminium cabin on the deck. This was to use for sleeping and cooking facilities. This saved a lot of damage to our cars on the rough backcountry roads. We also had a period with the Havelock North Wine Society, some memorable tastings, especially a formal function under the willows at Tennant's Bend.
Where's Tennant's Bend?
Tennant's Bend is off the River Road, the Tukituki Road from Hamawana. It runs into the river, and Keith and our group loved doing things outdoor, and we set up this formal dinner under the willows with green, red tablecloths, lovely chairs, everything, and then it was all on. And of course, those days, we didn't worry about, we just drove home after these functions, which was customary. Won't go beyond that. Craig was off to Canterbury University, Garth an engineering apprenticeship at Timona, and Melissa to the Joyce Block Beauty College in Auckland. Kay was an admin at Wakatoo Woolscars. Oops, again going back at the tramping club for 2 years. We were capable of going on our own. Keith, Karen and I and the kids, Mel was 9 and Grant was 8. We did Egmont, close to the top, 5 days Wakatani, Mangapahatu, 3 days Ruas Track. We did tracks all over Hawke's Bay and the Uruweras. Went up to Kaweka Jay, Hot Springs, Pukatitri, Milford, Rootburn. So that was probably as a result of me becoming the Great White Tramper. I didn't need to become fit, but we certainly had no regrets enjoying these wonderful times with the children and sharing them with Keith Karen and his kids. And the kids today still do those things. Kay and I both supported National Party candidates for several elections, Duncan McIntyre, Bob Fenton, and I was Hawke's Bay Electorate Chairman for 4 terms, the last when Michael Laws was candidate. Many a weekend I sailed with David Davidson in Napier on his Safar 6000, sometimes with the boys, but it was far too slow for them. They wanted more action and more hands-on. Kay, Melissa and I joined Lance and Meg Peterson on their yacht Mata Artur in the Bay of Islands for some sailing. This was really great, living on the boat for a period of time. And of course, any of you that know Lance and Meg, they were wonderful hosts. Earlier, we had changed our caravan for a bigger one that had extra bunk for Melissa. We set off for the South Island to eventually walk the Milford and Rootburn tracks. On the way to Nelson, we broke the front windscreen on the caravan, necessitating repairs. This trip took a lot of planning, as there were some negative thoughts initially, but they disappeared. Kay was trying to encourage the children that no one wanted to go and do the Milford Track. But the closer we got, the better it became. When we wended our way to Tianao to meet up with the Karens, then Keith and I had to take his car and trailer to Milford for the return trip. And then after Milford, take both cars and caravan to Queenstown and then fly back to Tianao. And then we all bused to the start of the route burn. Both tracks were a wonderful family trip, except Kay's huge blisters after the Milford. But that was another really neat time, and to be able to share those, we had rain, we had fine days, we had everything. It was just such a neat time. I had joined the Havelock North Rotary Club in 1964, and Kay and I were enjoying the fellowship and the projects we took part in. In the late 70s, I sold the caravan and we bought an 18-foot fleetline boat named Sunseeker. We used this Napier Taupo fishing and skiing, and then to Waikaremoana, a very special place. This was a great boat, as I could sleep in the cabin on the lake. We had a competition called Waikaremoana Tours. Norm Spears, Dick Klingender, Graham Hook, Colin Barr, Ian Fastier, Mr. Dixon, I can't remember, and Tom, can't remember Tom's, and others. This was a yearly competition run from the Ormond Hut that we had access to. Laughs and great music. I also went on my own to Mokau or Home Bay, and later with Brian McGurk. Whilst the kids were at intermediate, I was school committee chairman, and in 1982 was Rotary president. In the 70s, we leased a property in Raukau Avenue at Te Rangiiti named Grumpy's Patch. This became our holiday home in Tauranga Taupo for a number of years, shared with the woods. The 15 acres of orchard previously planted, Kay and Helen Kale spent some time working and training these trees. Most of the stock I reared off the farm was raised for free thanks to the generosity of Bob Harper, the Lowry's and the Moeys. In 1975, Kay and I wanted to move to the front paddock of the Bottom Farms, so we sold our present home in Pufflet Road for $46,000, and Peter Holland designed a new home. This was an exciting time for us, planning, gardens, colours, etc. Because it was interesting, we initially had hoped to build this house on the farm when we were married. We had a man in Hastings design a house for us, and my father had a change of mind and decided it wouldn't be a good idea for us to build a house on the Bottom Farm. So we shelved the plans, and later on in 1964 we actually used that plan to build Mum and Dad a new house on the farm. So that was good to see it being built, but it was interesting. Something you plan that early in life, you don't necessarily, you wouldn't build that same house again. It's the same with our house in Thompson Road. I wouldn't build the same house there again either. We think we know it all. Anyway, Jim and Margaret wanted to build on the Frogley block, but we were hindered by Jim Frogley not releasing his mortgage. This created a division, so letters from Jim's lawyer, they wanted out. So I split everything down the middle, machinery-wise, and Jim took over 37 acres of the home farm, including Mum's house with a lifetime tenure, which he planted in grapes and apples. Later, when we built a new home in 1976, we lived in the caravans as we vacated our sold home. John Poots was the builder, and by Labour weekend, two adults, three children and one dog, we were running out of patience. Kay delivered the ultimatum. We were in around this home. We created the most fabulous gardens in about 2.5 acres of all daffodils in the front paddock. And just coming back, the ultimatum, Kay said, if the builders weren't finished, we were moving in. And the builders did get finished to the garden, especially. We had at least, we had many garden visits. Kay was part of garden groups, and Kay had great vision and and Green Fingers. This was all tail drained and had an extensive watering system I had put in. I'd spent some time developing an orchard vineyard on the 62 acres I bought from Cooper Brothers Limited. I totally tile drained tiles later. Lass and I carted tiles from Wairoa on the S Bedford, 8 tonne at a time, to do this drainage. The first season I planted peas and beans. After the crop had gone, I totally levelled the block with Jack Lay and his big grader. Roy Anderson marked the orchard out for 5,000 apple trees, 10 acres of queens and 20 acres of grapes for McWilliams, Cooks and Cormans until finally grape pull. The vineyards, peaches and apples between the rows, many crops were grown for cash flow. Carrots, asparagus, seedlings, maize, watermelons, Craig, Garth and Melissa all helped with the development. My massive Ferguson tractors were no longer suitable, so I changed to David Brown 990s that were easily lowered, and the old David Brown Russell Curry built into a 16,000 forklift. The boys doing all the vineyard fencing, and the 880 had the spraying rig on it. The boys were very clever on the farm. You only had to till them once, and they were strong. They were sporting lads, and to do the fencing, those manual jobs, was like water off a duck's back on them. It was marvellous. The old 880 that used to be Lance Peterson's, I turned that into a spray rig for the orchard that had the spray rig mounted on the front to spray under the trees. That was permanent. I only then had one large tractor, a 1210 David Brown, for cropping. I still grew tomatoes for Watties Machine Harvest on leased land adjacent to the farm. Kay was still golfing on a low handicap. I sold my spraying business to Ken Senior, Lock, Stock and Barrel. I supervised them for 1 year to introduce the clients and to show him what to do. It was sad, really, but Ken was really a nice man, but he had no PR, and it only was about 2 seasons and they'd all gone, people I'd had in the business for 25 years. And it's about whether they like you or not, isn't it?
Yeah, it happens, doesn't it?
Mm. So my orchard manager was Adam Scott. He was John Scott's son from Hamoana, and he was a very talented, hard-working orchard manager, and he had great orchard knowledge. It was during the development, the kids did a huge amount of the work. So when it was time to plan their lives, they already had a backlog of experience, hands-on with people and operating machinery. This included Melissa, who then went to Auckland to train as a beauty therapist. When all this was happening in our lives, Beryl and Eric Kay's mother and stepfather were always supportive and always there when needed. The orchard and vineyard were developing well. The off-farm crops, tomatoes, carrots, all did well. It was during this period Craig was in Canterbury at university, rugby, skiing, and then there were lots of other interests, off university interests, that we probably won't discuss here, but he had a great time there. We used to send him down a survival pack to university. It contained 2 layers of apples. Kay would cook a chicken, a fruit cake, and lots of other goodies, put it in an apple box, put on Newman's at 4 o'clock in the afternoon here, and was in Christchurch the next morning. Oh. And the chicken was still warm, he used to say, but he said he had to pick this chicken up before his mates knew it was coming. He said otherwise there wouldn't have been anything left. But we called that his survival pack, and it used to cost us $8 to send it to Christchurch.
Yeah, that's a pretty good service. And what year was that about?
Late 70s.
Late 70s, yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Garth was doing his engineering apprenticeship at Timona, playing rugby at Clive, where they taught him his niceties, socialisation, drinking. Unfortunately, Garth was concussed several times and had to give up rugby. He then started running marathons, and that's another story, because I could speak for at least 2 or 3 days on Garth. He carried on to represent New Zealand in marathon canoeing at the World Champs. He then won the Scottish Coast to Coast. He's done the Coast to Coast in New Zealand, and currently at 50, he's competing in World Championships representing Australia and New Zealand at cycling. So once they taught him how to run, but they didn't tell him how to stop. Melissa went to Outward Bound, played netball, and drove her Mori Minor. She had this little Mori Minor. At this time, the family cars were an Austin Westminster, a Chevette that Kay drove, a Hillman Supermix, that was Craig's, Cortina won of Garth's, and Melissa was disappointed that there was no birthday present in her room for her 15th birthday. It was outside her bedroom window on the lawn with a huge bow around it. Mori. That was the Highlight Morris that we bought at Neville Davis's. Mary used to drive it.
Right.
And prior to that, Doug the potato grower. His father was an auctioneer, and Doug Walker had this car as a new car, this little Morris Minor. So it had a bit of history. She drove us for many years. The orchard and vineyard was looking well. We had syndicated with some very supportive friends to bridge the gap to production. But in the critical year, we had the bowler storm, which destroyed the crop. What wasn't on the ground was damaged on the trees. We were so dependent. I tried very hard to bring our farm into the damaged zone, but the Tuki Tuki River was the boundary. I went to Parliament to talk to Labor. I spoke to the Undersecretary Maxwell. I spoke to Longy. I spoke to our own National Party members, but nobody would show any interest in shifting this boundary to include us, because there was no doubt, and according to the Met Office, that we were exposed, and it was just the way the storm came around the end of the peak. But anyway, that happened, and there was nothing we could do. In spite of this, bowler storm and the 26% interest at that stage made us walk, much to our disappointment, our home, our vacation, all left as we walked. We left behind a beautiful garden with lake, home, and all we'd worked for. When the going gets tough, you're really on your own. Craig had finished university and was working for Lion in Auckland. Melissa was working for Dunkley's, and Garth was finishing his apprenticeship. So in 1988, we started again with nothing. With some help from Bob Wilson, my uncle, and Kay's mother, we were able to buy a townhouse in Ballantyne Street, Hastings. Kay still had her job at Whakatū. I applied for jobs, then sat real estate exams. Both Kay and I did it together. Then I started working for Tremaine's Real Estate, where I remained for 24 years. A wonderful family company. I represented this company on the Havelock North Business Association, retired 2013 from Tremaine's, and then from Rotary after 49 years. The reward, I was made an honorary member, which entitles me to go to any club when I feel like it. That was quite strange all of a sudden, when you retire and you're not sure what's going to happen the next day, because it takes a little period of adjustment. It
takes a good 12 months, actually.
It does. I still go to Rotary occasionally. I'm still active grandparent reader at Riversley with Kay, Garth Thornton, and Peter Reed. This school we sponsor under Duffy Books. In 2007, I went into Paper Plus in the village to buy a lotto ticket, collapsed and came to after a seven-day coma to find I'd been on the edge, an aortic aneurysm. They had flown me to Wellington, opened me up for 12 hours, then opened me up the next day to do some more. They put a new valve in and some pipes, and when I came to, all the family were there. They didn't know whether I was coming or going, and neither did I. As I slipped into the bookshop, my leg went under the bookstand where it was broken. I saw this, and when I fell, so when I came to from the coma, my leg was still not plastered. and I wondered what they'd been messing about with. Then I found they'd been messing about with the rest of my body. Eventually I realised they weren't going to spend time on my leg if my motor wasn't going. Eventually they plated my leg in Hastings before discharge. 2 years later I fell backwards off a quad bike in North Wairoa, which needed more repairs to my shoulder, collarbone and back. And this was sad because duck shooting was I got a lot of pleasure out of this, and the people that I was shooting with that weekend, I think we shot 160 ducks. There were 10 of us, and I've never seen, and swans, I've never seen, but to fall off, it wasn't part of my plan. So I recovered from these various operations. I'm still active as a patroller in the village patrol, been there for 11 years. I fished backcountry rivers for 45 years, and now my interests are closer to home. Grandchildren 7, children 3, and Kay and I. We are part of a breakfast group that meets at different venues. This is very social and has been going for 24 years. I also do interviews for Digital History, Hawke's Bay Knowledge Bank. This is a fascinating job. Also, when I was 70, 2008, I bought a 650 shaft drive Honda motorcycle and have ridden this all over New Zealand, from Invercargill, New Plymouth, Taupo, Rotorua, Whakatane. My family and friends thought I'd gone mad when I bought this. You can imagine. Craig has been in the liquor trade since university, having lived in Australia, Amsterdam, Paris, Canada, and has a worldwide experience and has had worldwide responsibility. He now runs his own company in Auckland, Batch Brewing. He's married to Milena from Calgary, Canada, and have Thompson, who's 5, and Ellery, who's 2.5. They live in Mount Eden, Auckland. Garth, an engineer, lived in London for 8 years, met Sandra from England, and married on the Tuaroa ski field. Garth and Sandra have both represented their countries at canoeing. Garth and Sandra have travelled extensively, firstly on one motorcycle, Europe, Africa, Egypt, Iran, India, China, Indonesia, and then 1 year they both went on motorbikes with the two little children and did all of South America, north to Dead Horse, Alaska, across Canada to New York, and then down to Australia and then home. Interesting that although Sandra had for several years had travelled on the back of a motorbike to go and do the trip up to South America with the two kids, Garth had to teach her to ride a motorbike. This was done in Southland in the middle of winter, and he took her across the most horrendous roads. He taught her how to fall off in the river. He taught her how to go through mud, and of all these things, she said she didn't realise. She thought he was trying to break her before they went, but she said everything he taught her, she actually needed. So that was quite interesting. They did 56,000 Ks on this trip for a year. He joined the police in Wellington, then he moved to Winton for 10 years, now senior constable at Kalgoorlie, Sandra's head of department in a school in Kalgoorlie. That's in the middle of Western Australia. Garth and Sandra and kids, avid cyclists, racing cyclists, they are our sporting arm. Running, cycling, canoeing, all at the top end. Their daughter Nadine, 16, is also a very active sport. Young Frank at 14 is developing as well, cycling, running and football. Melissa became a beauty therapist for Jane Dunkley, but after a time she became sick of clients' problems. And isn't this interesting? I've heard other people say that a lot of ladies used to unload the problems while they're having their beauty or their hair's done. Yep. Men's hairdressers just get the jokes. Melissa married Richard Orvis, who was at Birdseye, and then moved to Frucor. That was taken over by Turners. They have two daughters, Jacqueline, 15, and Courtney, 13, both at Caraman High School. My mother died in 2008, 97. She was the last of the Wilson family, of Lower Tomato, the hardest worker and the longest liver. Just us cousins left, not many of us. My sister Letty, Letitia, died. She didn't finish her nursing training and did a variety of jobs, including fine fare grocery in the village, working on the farm and orchards and vineyards for Jim and I. Patricia worked at Hart Print until she met Graham Borden. Graham was a stockman originally for Percy Hayden at Mangatapuri Station, then at Washpool for 40 years as stock manager until they retired to Pukipuki on their lifestyle block in Gardens. They have a daughter, Sarah, who is paramedic with St John's and Central Hawke's Bay manager. She's married to Chris Johnson and have two daughters. Andrew's married to Alison and is an engineer in Tasmania. He trained at Whakatū. Patrick is married to Janine and they live in Wellington. They have three children. Sister Margaret went school teaching, local, and then she met Alex Lassoff, a scientist with DSIR. They moved to Pine Haven, where Margaret teaches, and Alex is at Wallaceville. They have two children, Anya, who lives in England, and Alexander, a partner, who have four children. Jim married Margaret Bruce and have two children, Campbell and Jane. Jim found home farm apples and grapes until he retired in 2008. Close friends have also gone. Ken McEwen, Trevor Jeffries, Marie Claire, Jan Spears, Graham Wood, Ed Gilmore, Rob Brigham, that was Kay's brother, he died at 32 from cancer. I had two uncles that played a major part in my life. Firstly, Bob Wilson, who encouraged me to drive his tractor, a Massey Harris 30 and a Farmall F12 on steel. I was just a boy, 10 or 11 at the time. I drove hours cultivating his paddocks. He was like a father to me. And secondly, Lindsay, who had a trucking business, and all the times I worked with him carting hay, seed on the threshing mill. They were always very supportive and when the going got tough. And lastly, their sister, who was my mother, who was so strong and kept our family together despite the hardships and sometimes disappointments she had. Highlights of my time, marrying Kay and buying our first home and extending. Three children, all talented with great work habits. Moving to the farm, building a new home and developing a 2.5 garden with Lake. Going to Nambassa, the kids came to us when they were 11 or 12 and said, can we go to Nambassa? And I said, not really, because it was a bit like Sweetwaters, but it was more extended, more different. And we said, okay, because young Jill and Martin Elliott's son, Boy Elliott?
Yes.
Yeah, well, yep. He was a friend of Craig's. And there was Margaret Henderson, Ash Henderson's wife, and their kids. And they all said, look. And so we said, okay, well, let's go. We'll take the kids. So off we went. Margaret had a little van, Margaret Henderson. And Jill had a little pop-up caravan. And just the two girls and their kids, and Kay and I, we had the Land Cruiser and this pup's head. Off we went, and we drove to Waihee, and this was a new experience to both Kay and I, because when we drove in, it had been raining, it was very muddy, but nobody had any clothes on. Nobody. Everyone was from 70 years old out to kids. And I said to Kay, I said, this is different. And the kids thought, now, this is different. So anyway, after a while, you didn't notice the people that didn't have clothes on. Because there were Harry Christmas, there was the mayor, who now is the mayor of Invercargill, Shadbolt. He was up a tree spouting to someone, someone was threatening to cut the tree down. There was that politician from Australia who got into trouble. Look, they had Waylon Jennings, they had the most wonderful music, but it rained, and it rained, and it rained. And it had a river going through it, and of course all the people were all playing in the mud and then washing in the river, and because Kay and I both were wearing gabardine raincoats at the time, several times we were approached to see whether we were police people. But of course they were smoking the weed, and all the hippie people were there, all the bus people, all these bearded men who later became, you know, accountants and solicitors and politicians. That was probably one of the best valleys I've ever been to. It was 3 days, but mud. I'll never get the smell of the mud. It was, and the toilets. Oh, but anyway, it was great. we had a lot of fun there. So that was one of the highlights, especially with the kids and these other friends. The Morford track, Gerutberg tracks with our family and the Karen family, family functions with the Karens and Gilmores, the friends who supported me with the orchard, especially Garth Stewart, Norman and Jan, Lois and Graham, and Ian and Pat, and then marriages, Richard and Melissa in the Spears Garden, Garth and Sandra on the Tuaroa ski field, and Craig and Milena in the Bugaboo ski field in Calgary. And that was something again in the ski field, the lodge we went to. It was normally only used in the winter time as a heli ski. Huge place, you know, huge, huge hotel, but could only fly in by helicopter. But they had a service road where you could get in, and Milena's father worked there, so that they didn't have weddings ever. And of course, Garth had to be different, and they married up on Tuaroa ski field in the snow. But the interesting thing was they would, the men were dressed in as the Three Musketeers in full gear. The robes, the ruffles, the boots, the swords, the lot. And the girls were in medieval costumes. And here we are going up the ski field at Tuaroa into the snow and standing there. And I went up with the marriage celebrant who'd come from Tamanui. And he said, when I get back to Tamanui, no one's going to believe this. He said, no one is going to believe this story. And then the lowlights were the storm that devastated our first real crop, and then leaving Spring Farm to start a new life. And then we lived in Ballantyne Street from 89 to 93, and as I worked in the Havelock North office of Tremaine's, and on the way I went down Sylvan Road, and on the corner of Queen Street was this very attractive character home. I thought, if it ever comes onto the market, I must have a look at it. Several months went by, and then one day an auction sign was on the property. It was with another company, so I rang and made an appointment and looked that morning. When I walked in, this was an 80-year-old home that Les Clapcott, the architect, had reworked. It was beautiful, lovely wood, ceilings. I rang Kay and said, you must come and have a look. But she said she was too busy, as she was going to Hong Kong that afternoon to visit sister-in-law Kathy. I said, come in your lunch hour, which she did. She rang up and said, I love it, I love it. She flew away and I bought the house property. That was 1993. Kay moved in and I stayed in Ballantyne Street for 1 year and then moved to Queen Street. We were having some difficulties after losing the farm and our home and gardens. We rented Ballantyne Street until we sold it. It was in Queen Street I suffered with temporal arteritis and polymyalgia rheumatica, which meant I was on huge doses of prednisone, which wasn't good for relationships, as I experienced a change of personality. This was difficult for both of us, and this took 6 years to withdraw from the drugs. In 2004, I bought an investment property in Duart Road, Havelock North. I was quietly doing this up in my downtime to surprise Kay, and on the Friday Kay was talking to a solicitor in the village who lived next door, and he asked Kay when we were moving in. Surprise, surprise, nobody knew I'd bought it. But the grapevine, when I arrived home, surprise, surprise, Kay said, when are you moving out? I said, this is for renting. But after some discussion, I said, I would try it. After 45 years married, here I was on my own, starting a new adventure, 2005. In 2007, I had an aortic aneurysm in the bookshop. I did not realize what was wrong. Aeroplane to Wellington, 14 and a half hours operating, 7 days coma, but I came back, gave the family a hell of a fright. 2009, I fell off a quad bike, North Wairoa, I damaged my shoulder, needing one more operation. Now, it's the knowledge bank interviews, grandchildren, and Queen Street East. Kay has developed the section into the most beautiful gardens and a large deck on the front for entertaining. That's it.
Well, Frank, what a life you've had. I wish I had have known you earlier in my life, but, you know, you were non-existent, really. The name Cooper was used to come to the front, and, of course, then I met you in Rotary when I first joined back in the 60s as well. But you're an interesting character, one of the most interesting people that I've interviewed. Well, we both interviewed a number of people for the Knowledge Bank, but yours takes the cake, and by crikey, when I think of all the things that you've done and what you've been through and the travelling that you've done with your family and that, it's really something.
You've got to remember that's 79 years, Jim, and when you think of your history too. But see, this is the interesting thing. We pass like ships in the night. If I can just take a moment at the end of this. We all know one another, but we don't know one another. And it's not until sometimes like this, and see, I had no idea what your family, what you were like as a person. I knew the person I used to see. No, I think it's really great.
Well, thank you. This talk is now finished, and we'll leave it over to the editors now. Good morning. This is the 14th of July, and I am with Mr. Frank Cooper, entrepreneur of Havelock North, and this is his second recording. And I say, good morning, Frank.
Good morning, Jim.
Now, I understand you've got a bit of an addition to do to your original, and I'll just leave it over to you to tell us what it's all about. It's a big surprise.
Thank you, Jim. Well, I've started off by saying, oops, things I've missed saying. My fishing trips with Keith Caron and Ed Gilmore over 40 years all over New Zealand, Keith and I shared a 1976 Land Cruiser we had firmware build an insulated canopy on the back of for sleeping, three of us, and cooking. This allowed us to traverse the backcountry river systems. Favourites were Ruakaturi on the edge of the Urawiras, also excursions to Waikaremoana with Peter Wilkinson, Ian Abernethy, Bill Dodds, and the Waikaremoana Tours Group. Norm Spears, Dick Klingender, the base being the Waipua Hut, and then the Ormond Hut, a very special place. We had competitions each December and a lot of fun. I must mention the faces: Norm Spears, Dick Klingender, Ian Fastier, Colin Barr, Stuart Humphreys, John Dixon, Mo Pierce, Tup Pierce, Bill Dodds, John Bridson, Tom Bridson, Graham Hook, and latterly with Cliff King and George Stanley, back to the Ormond Hut. Also the family time tramping with the Herotonga Tramping Club, and then Keith Caron and I led our families over many tramps, several of them 5 days, 56-mile ventures. North and South Islands, Wakatani, Ruas Track, Waikaremoana, The Crossing, Kawekas, Armstrong Saddle, Egmont, Milford. Later, I upgraded the Land Cruiser to a later model, which was well worthwhile. I also had the run of Papuni Station for duck shooting and the Bull property at Risington. So the Toyota was a real bonus for accessing. Some of the notable people that I contracted for were Bill Robson, used to have 100 acres of asparagus, Selwyn Begley had 100 acres, Jim Arnold of Lagoon Farm. I never realised that Keith was Jim's, and he was a very stern man, Jim Arnold. Woodthorpe Station, that was Robin Lowry and Namahonga. They were consequently sold to the Buck family for grapes. Jim Hill, those days, was the manager. Trevor Taylor. Trevor now runs a big enterprise out of Timona. Bob Wilson. Frank Gordon. Used to do a lot of work for Frank Gordon at Waiheke those days. Also Mr. Harper, the Arkongas, for allowing us to graze a lot of dairy stock for little or no charge. Our very special neighbours, social neighbours, Richie and Carrie Barron, who we had many laughs together. When I was 70, I bought a 650cc motorcycle to satisfy a dream, which I did riding from Havelock North to Invercargill, and up the other coast, Havelock North to Wakatani, to Gisborne, Havelock North to New Plymouth. Finally, I sold it in 79 due to family advice. Age in brackets. Jim was selling the home farm, which necessitated our mother going into a rest home, Waipu, where she had many happy years. This necessitated Sister Letty moving to a Masonic flat in Limousin Road. This was not a happy time. She lived there until she died in 2015. Earlier, I made a comment about Garth's sporting adventures, starting with rugby and then many marathons, longest days, marathon canoeing. He was the New Zealand champ. This started with representing New Zealand in Czechoslovakia, and 8 years in London, intermixed with motorcycle travelling in Europe, Asia, Africa, and then India, China, and many other countries. This was with Sandra Troop on the rear. Then home to New Zealand, joined New Zealand Police Force, married, and then two children were 8 and 6. Then they went off with kids on the pillions to South America, right through to Dead Horse, Alaska, then back to New York. Then they came home to Winton. Then they went off to Western Australia to join the Western Australia Police with the Kalgoorlie group. Sandra's teaching there, and Nadine and Frank at high school. Craig, who was a natural sportsman but not a focused trainer, played top rugby, Hawke's Bay under-18s and Canterbury University, and skiing, obviously in Christchurch, closer to the ski fields. The adventure, when he finished university, he joined Ceramco, unfortunately, only for 6 months, then Lion Breweries, where he had an outstanding career climbing the ladder through the various New Zealand breweries. Then to South Australia as marketing manager for Tui's. Lion owned them at that stage. Then 6 months living in France, and he was headhunted by Maxim Australia to head up the team there and get things cracking. This was successful, and then to Amsterdam, where he became world sales director. This was a consortium of the major world distillers and was responsible for 29 countries. It was not easy flying and living out of suitcases. Then back to New Zealand to do some contract work for Merino Wools. He was headhunted again and sent off for Canada to sort out Independent Liquor Canada to bring to a profit or close down. This was a huge project travelling the width of China. He was a success in bringing the company around, and the bonus was he met and courted Milena, who we met and went to their wedding in Bugaboo, a heli ski lodge high up in the Rockies. Kay and I drove from Vancouver to Calgary over several days through magnificent country. It was great to meet Milena, Milena's mum and dad, and as his contract now completed, he moved back to Melbourne to a strong position in Carlton Breweries. It was an interesting job, but he was not happy there. Back to New Zealand, some small projects, and then he restarted the Limburg label as the new batch brewery, and currently local and exporting. They have 6 and a 3-year-old that we see frequently. Melissa, as the children went to the daycare, went back to work with Hawke's Bay today, spent a lot of time with the Brownies, Girl Guides and the Havelock North Swing Club. Keeping 2 teenager girls in hand is a job on its own, but she enjoys community involvement. Sport during the winter, Richard and Melissa enjoy camping in their large modern tent. As I've moved around the village and see the new homes being built with their huge scaffolding around it, it reminds me of Melissa painting the roof of the Orchard buildings with an 11-foot stud. This was never any question of height, and you just got up and painted. Things have changed. One disappointment in the family over the time has been the divisions, partly through grandfathers and fathers marrying twice and subsequent new families having no contact with each other, almost forever. However, through Pat and Tricia Cooper, Selwyn's son, we hope to build some bridges to renew our family contact for the future. The last comment is about my new interest working with the team at Knowledge Bank, led by James Morgan, and especially Jim Newigan, in the oral interview department. It has been rewarding getting to know Jim better, as in the past we have passed like ships in the night. I sort of look back and think, is this all I've done in 79.6 years? And I think, yippee, I have been so lucky, and I'm looking forward to, and I've left a gap for the years, I rest my case. But it's funny, Jim, over all the years that I've known you, we have passed like ships in the night, and you're really a very nice fellow.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you are. Are you going to turn that off or say something rude?
No, I think that's very good. The history that we're getting, the knowledge bank are getting out of people in Hawke's Bay is absolutely...
Is that still going?
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yes.
In fact, it's unbelievable, a lot of it, and just what's there, and it's still hidden, and there's still a lot of people there to be interviewed that can tell us so much about Hawke's Bay.
Yes.
It's a lot of stuff undercover. Well, that's the end of our interview today. Thank you, Frank.